Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go!
And that's it! Go. Now let's do this!
Nothing can stop me, I'm all the way up.
My God!
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And welcome, everyone. Welcome back to some. Welcome new listeners for most. My name is Dave Sturcio, otherwise known as Dave Destruction on the independent wrestling circuit in the Northeast, or preferably WrestlePro, or a couple other my buddies that I've linked up with in the past, I guess over the past 6 months, 7 months. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the first episode. And for some of you, this is not the first time you've heard me on a podcast. I did formerly have my own podcast in 2014 entitled Thursday Night Destruction. I was doing that because I was nursing an injury. I was depressed. I was lonely. I had nothing else better to do. And I really didn't put that much production into it. So I was kind of disappointed with it. I was very appreciative of, you know, Blog Talk Radio and the people that have supported it in my recording software, in which finally, you know, halfway through, I finally signed on with, It was more or less me just messaging Tony saying, hey, man, can I get on your network? The Shining Wizards Network. So this show, Destruction 101, is brought to you solely by, for now, the Shining Wizards Network, and you can find them online on all my Facebook pages, shiningwizards.net and .com. I probably already got that wrong, but I've plugged it enough where it's on there. These guys are great. They've given me the platform again to try to succeed one more time at this podcast gig. So this is the first episode, and this is what I got. I mean, it's been quite some time since I talked to a lot of people, so I guess it's only appropriate for me to introduce myself. For anybody that's listening for the first time or don't know who I am and they say, who's Dave Destruction, which I've gotten a lot when people ask, like, oh, you heard Dave Destruction? Who the hell's Dave Destruction? Well, you know, that's okay. It's all right. A lot of people might not know who I am. But now it's kind of me trying to reach another audience, per se. You know, just try to get on the podcast level again, but at the same time, just reintroduce myself to the world of sports media. Well, here's this quick as I could possibly do, story about where I come from. Went to Middlesex County College, got a degree in sports journalism. After that, I enrolled myself and paid my own way into the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. So it is legit when I say I went to broadcasting school. I do have a certificate in that. Met a lot of cool guys there. A lot of cool guys who have actually, you know, graduated and gone on to bigger things. I got a shout out to my friend Phil, who's out in Vegas covering MMA. You know, shout out to my friend Rob, who's down in North Carolina, D.C. area or something like that, doing NASCAR for Sirius. My buddy Pat, who's got his own production company, Mayday Productions. You know, these are all guys that I've still kept in contact with. And I was kind of like, not bitter, but like, you know, sort of like, all right, why not me? Why can't I do something like this? But unfortunately, right out of college and right out of broadcasting school, if you don't have your full-time gig at the age of, you know, 20, 21, you start to wonder, you start to worry, you know, okay, what's next for me? What do I do? How do I, you know, where do I go from here? So what happened was, after broadcasting school, I got employed by the New York Football Giants as an intern. Hate the Giants. As many of you who already know me, they are on the top of my list of things I hate in this world. And there's not many things I hate. It's like the Giants and like one ex-girlfriend and like, I don't know. It's really like the only people I hate, like despise. you know, giants can't die. The ex can. So I don't wish death on anybody, sort of not. But anyway, in any event, started with the Giants. They knew right away that I am a diehard. And when I say diehard, anybody who knows me or follows me, y'all know that I ride and die with these Dallas Cowboys. And it's unfortunate because I literally ride and die with these Dallas Cowboys. So this year has been phenomenal. I'll get more into that later. But, so after, you know, the Giants internship was great. I met all the players. I met the faculty. I met all the upper ups, you know, the Maras. I met John Madden on one of the road games. I met Troy Aikman. And then I met Joe Buck. And it kind of ruined everything for me. Because, if you know me, you know my hatred for that guy. And it's not for his abilities, because he's a great, if not the best, you know, play-by-play guy in the industry. I just think he's very biased. I think he hates certain teams, and he shows it a lot. Like, there hasn't been a chance for the Cowboys to score a touchdown against the Giants without him saying, "And there are no flags." So he's waiting for a flag to be thrown. And in this day and age, you literally have to wait. Every touchdown the Cowboys score, I have to give myself a 3-second window to see a little yellow icon pop up to the screen saying flag, because I'm just, you never know. Anyway, after broadcasting school, it wasn't one of those things where I just gave up. It was just that you needed something full time. I mean, I know I did. I mean, some people just really grinded it out, took more internships, took more, like, you know, free jobs and freelance stuff and this and that. And I wasn't in a position to do that. Like, I told, you know, my dad, I almost said my dad at the time, like, it's, that's changed. I told my dad at that time that I wanted to start making real money. And it really, it hurt me, because I knew that I wanted to succeed in the world of, you know, broadcasting and media and all that stuff, but it just wasn't panning out right away. So I got very impatient. So I took a lot of shit jobs. When I say shit jobs, I mean shit jobs, to get to where I am today. The only job that I can say I enjoyed was working with my father in a warehouse. Other than that, I can't really remember a job where I got up for work and I said, "Oh, I can't wait to go." I mean, I don't think anybody does that, even to this day. Anybody just gets up, like, and, you know, that alarm hits and they're just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, like, "Oh, it's time to work." It's not. Nobody's really in any kind of mood to work ever. But other than that, like, I just, you know, I'm talking shit jobs, like Enterprise Rent-A-Car, like, for the last couple years, been driving trucks for FedEx and WB Mason, and don't get me wrong, some of these companies are great, they're great. WB Mason took care of their people, and I have no ill will at those guys whatsoever. I have a couple guys that I try to stay in contact with, but I left there on very shitty terms. And this is more getting more personal, I guess, more than, you know, professional with the wrestling and whatnot. But as far as a work-related thing, currently right now, I am just started. Today, as I record this, it was my first day of full-time employment with the Franklin Board of Education. And it was a step that I took when I saw a therapist. I told the therapist exactly what was happening with me and my everyday life. How I couldn't stand to wake up anymore, and I was depressed. And this is coming off a lot of successful things in my life, so I was just like, it has to be the job, you know? Because if it's not the job, it's you know, what else is it? I'm happy in every other aspect of life except the job. So just by, you know, gauging a couple of conversations with me, he, you know, my therapist had asked me, "Have you ever tried to dip into the old education system?" And I said, "No, I never really gave it any thought." And then, truth be told, one of my best friends, you know, I'm hanging out with him one day, and he's like, "Do you ever think about being a teacher?" And I guess what they say they saw in me is that I can lead, and I was good with kids, and I've always been that way. I mean, maybe because I'm a kid at heart still, that might work. You know, I guess that works to my advantage. But I was told I was good with kids. And I can lead, and I can instruct, and I can be a teacher of some sort. So I took the necessary steps, and I started to begin my certification to become a substitute. Now, what I thought was going to be a year-long, 2-year-long sub job turned into, you know, because when you're a sub, you literally have to be at your phone and be at the computer and look for these opening jobs. And it's kind of stressful, you know, not knowing when your next paycheck's going to be or what it's going to entail. But this was weird. It was I got into this first school, and within like the first 3 weeks, you know, they said like, you know, what's your background, yada, yada. And I told them exactly what was going on. And they said, all right, well, we want to interview you. And I'm sitting there like, I don't even have a 4-year degree. Like, what do they want from me? Like, and they know that because it's on my resume, you know? So I find out what they were looking for. They're looking for a one-on-one paraprofessional. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's actually increased since I've been in school, because when I was in school, there was no such thing. There was no such thing as, like, for me at least, it didn't seem like there was any other teachers in the classroom ever at any time, except for the main teacher. But now I'm walking in somebody's classrooms and there's like 2 or 3 teachers in each room. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what kind of attention do these kids need? You know? But now the one-on-one paraprofessional, you either deal with learning disabilities, actual, you know, unfortunate, like mental learning disabilities, like could be literally retarded or a Down syndrome child or a serious case of autism or, there's just so many things. My situation was a little different because I was stuck with a problem child, okay? It was fun. It's been fun. It's been hell on earth at times, but I am dealing with a behavioral student. So that's where I'm at right now in my day-to-day check-to-check levels in life. I took a massive hit in the bank account area. I did. And it was a risk. You know, but thank God I had the support system that I have, because if it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be able to be doing this. And anybody, I'll tell anybody that. You know, she's keeping, I mean, listen, I'm not making pennies. I'm making a decent amount of money, but I definitely took a cut. And thank God for the support of her and my family, and knowing that I'm only 31 years old, and I know that you're not supposed to put only in front of anything probably past 20, you know, but I think this is a good decision for me. So anyway, so I guess rewind a couple years. 2012, I decided to pursue the dream of becoming a professional wrestler. And it was a lot of fun at first. It was really cool because, you know, I grew up wanting to do this. And I've been a pro wrestling fan for as long as I can remember. I grew up watching my favorites. Shawn Michaels is number one of all time ever. So any rumors or hints or inklings that he's coming back is just driving me nuts because I'm excited about it. Yeah, so 2012, I started my pro wrestling venture. I did it in memory of my best friend John, who passed away. We said we were going to get into this together, and he passed away a couple years before we were supposed to start. So I kind of lived this dream for the both of us. And 2012, it took off. I was one of the inaugural students of the Creator Pro New Jersey School in Rahway. Pat Buck was our trainer, and I can't thank him enough, because there's been a lot of learning experiences in now 4.5 years of being around this professional wrestling business. It is, at first, it's the most fun you've ever had. And as you try to get yourself over and you get yourself, your character over, which I did by getting my people to come support me. And that's what everybody took notice to right away. I mean, there's no secret behind that. I had a massive following, and it's only because most of the events that we were doing were right in my wheelhouse, right in my hometown. So it was very easy to get my best friends, my family. I'm talking every living Sturcio was at that first match, you know, and it was a lot of fun. And it was a learning experience, because as time went on, you do realize that, okay, you had, you know, 150 people come see you in that first match. And then that second match, it was down to like 80. And then that third match, it was down to like 40. And then before you knew it, you know, a year goes by and nobody's coming to see you anymore. So yeah, that works in the beginning and that's awesome, but you need to establish yourself as a name. Get yourself over in any way possible. You know, to be honest with you, I grew up a Shawn Michaels fan. So, like, did I want to be the sexy pretty boy? Yeah, that's probably the goal. But I realized I wasn't built like that. And I wasn't, you know, I was taller and I wasn't cute. I didn't have that baby face, you know, I couldn't do that. So I turned to the creative juices and I kind of just mashed up everybody together. And some people make fun of me, but some people see it as a cool thing. But like I mashed in like a Ryback and a whatchamacallit, Brock Lesnar and, you know, guys like that, like brawlers. And I just tried to mix it all together and out comes me, you know, and that kind of turns into my real life personality. I'm a very passionate person. I'm a very over the top dramatic person, as some of you have seen over the years. I'm a very, you know, high tempered at times. I've blown gaskets in the past, not always in the best of ways, but it just, you know, mash it all together. And this word of destruction just kind of popped out. And so I removed the E. I put a hyphen in it just to make it a little different. I mean, some people are just like, what the hell did you do that for? To be honest with you, I don't remember why I did it. I don't. It's been 4.5 years and like many concussions later. And I just don't remember why. But that's what I did. And it worked for a little while. And it still works to this day. And, you know, people know me as that. It's just the way it is. And that's what happened. That's what you need. I needed to get my name out there, get people to remember who the heck I was, and just kind of go that way and just go with the flow with that. And I did that. So I was wrestling for a couple years straight, just under one banner. Not that banner. I was wrestling, under Pro Wrestling Syndicate under Pat Buck and his partner. And, eventually, you know, things happen, and, you know, right after one of my most memorable favorite matches that I've had, I tore my ACL and my meniscus, and I was on the shelf for 10 months, and that's when I started my first podcast, and I was like, okay, this is what I'll do to pass the time, and all it was doing was just making me more angry, because I was interviewing people that I just want to be out there with, training with, and then I just kept it going for as long as I could, but the bitterness was just, it was too great for me to handle. And I'm telling you right now, it was one of those dark, dark moments of my life where I was just like, is this what I want to do? Like, I don't know if I want to wrestle anymore. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. It's so stressful. And look, if you're not in the business yet, then you're looking to get into it. It's phenomenal. It really is. Like, the ins and outs that I've learned over the 4.5 years that I've been around, it's been so, like, awesome. How to book a card, how to write storylines, how to just, obviously, how to wrestle, how to get yourself over, how to build character, how to get heat in good ways and in bad ways. There's so many cool aspects to the world of professional wrestling that I learned just so much, so quick. There's a lot of information. You got to intake it all. And it was one of those things where I just knew if I was just patient, that things would kind of work for me. And I wasn't patient. And that's when it all started to go away. Little by little, you'll have to excuse my sniffling because of a massive head cold that I got over the last 3 days, which was fun. Over the last, what was it? After I came back from ACL, I was still bitter, you know? I didn't know what was happening next. I always wanted answers, like, right away. And in wrestling, you can't. You got to be patient. You got to kind of stay and wait your turn. But I felt like, oh no, I'll get people back in the stands, blah blah blah. And it just wasn't working. It wasn't working, and I just didn't know what to do because I love professional wrestling. So when I got bitter, I got kicked out, and I got left behind. So the last couple Pro Wrestling Syndicate shows I was not a part of, I was off. I was gone. I didn't want to wrestle anymore. I quit. So after that, you know, a guy named Rob Fury contacted me. He's the promoter and owner of SWF. He contacted me saying, brother, you know, it's time to come back. Lace him up. Here we go. And I'm like, yeah, man, you're right. It is time to come back. I'm tired of sitting around and not doing my thing and not living my dream, yada, yada, yada. So I came back and did a couple, you know, easy matches, just to get that pop of the crowd and, like, get my rocks off, you know, and I was really excited. And then the opportunity came across where Pat was separating from his company and starting WrestlePro. Now, I didn't know anything about this. I was filled in on a stormy winter night by my friend and colleague, Eddie. told me the deal. He said, listen, this is what might happen. I think you should reach out to Pat and or Kevin and the powers that be and your old friends at WrestlePro. So I did. And Kevin literally texted me something I won't discuss exactly word for word, but he said, you want to be here or you want to be there? And there was no question to be asked. You know, I said, I want to be there talking about WrestlePro. I want to be with you guys. So that's what happened. They had a rumble to start. I announced myself in that rumble. I was real excited. And this is where like another transition kind of happened, because I realized that I wasn't in the best of health. Not so much like cardio health, because I'm healthy, but over the last, I guess it's registered as 16 years of active sports, so 16 years old, and it was just one of those things where I knew that I've taken a lot of blows to the head, and you know, between football, wrestling, even basketball and baseball, you know, there's always times where things can get nasty. So I have had 6 registered concussions, diagnosed concussions in my day. And just this past September, you know, WrestlePro was having a show, and I was promoting it as one of my, you know, bigger matches, because I was going to go against the undefeated Chris Avery Kuehling. He's one of my good friends. He's a good, excellent worker. But I, you know, didn't protect myself in certain situations, and I got clobbered a couple times. Nothing that he did wrong. It was me. I decided to take a couple of these moves too hard. And you know, it's funny, because that night I jumped on commentary with Sam Roberts, and I was just, I was feeling fine. And I went home, and that night I woke up with like violent throwing up and just mess, just a complete mess. And I didn't know what happened. And I finally figured out, I was like, all right, let's go check the doctor. And the doctor told me, you know, other than a concussion, I had swelling on the brain. You know, early indications of like a post-concussion like syndrome, where I would have blank spots in my memory. And it was some scary shit, I'm not going to lie. It was one of those things where you're just like, all right, pause. You know, like, what am I going to do now if I can't wrestle? Well, when I was hurt originally in 2014, I was given the opportunity to jump on the commentary team with Sam Roberts and David Adams with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I realized then, I'm like, wow, I'm having a ball. But in my mind, I was like, well, I just can't wait to get back into, you know, the wrestling realm of it. And I thought to myself, oh, you know, maybe I can make the, you know, make this a side thing, yada, yada. I wasn't as serious as I should have taken it, much like most of my earlier jobs. In the broadcast industry, I feel like I dropped the ball on a lot of stuff. So I dipped in the commentary. I actually had my face on TV a little while, because they had that, you know, the 4:30 in the morning slot for television. And I was hosting that, co-hosting that with David Adams. So I was gaining experience on the mic and in commentary and in that realm. So when I got hurt in September, I mean, I can't even say I got hurt. I just kind of got like brought to up to speed that I'm not doing so well as I thought I was doing. So I made the decision, along with my wife, who said, you know, enough's enough. Like, I know you love it, but you're killing yourself. And it stinks, because I wasn't really one of those guys that kill myself when I had matches. I was a very safe wrestler. I never did any hardcore things or anything like that, because I always thought to myself, like, I want to be able to be okay, you know, going in the future and not being a mush, you know? So it's funny how it all works out, because I was a safer wrestler, you know? So it's just, I have a soft head. It's just the way it is. Unfortunately, that's really what it breaks down to. So I finally made the decision, and I asked Pat if there was a room at commentary for this company. And he was on board with that, because he knew that deep down, WrestlePro had the talent, it had the setup, it had, you know, it had all sorts of great stuff, but one thing it was lacking, you know, was the production value. And I pride myself now, and going forward, in being, you know, the voice of WrestlePro as far as commentary. Now, what does that lead to? That leads to a couple other things. because once somebody sees that you, this is what you do and you're not trying to multitask and just fit in wherever, this is your gig. You know, a couple other guys, this gentleman named Carlos, who is the promoter for Battle Club Pro in the Bronx, contacted, we spoke before their first show, and he offered me not only a commentary position, but an on-air, on-screen commissioner's role, you know? And I, you know, being a wrestling fan, you always think about these little things like, wouldn't that be cool if you were that guy? You know, me being a Shawn Michaels guy, when he was the commissioner in WWF, I thought that was some of the coolest things he's ever done, and he never had to lace him up, you know, ever again at that point. So, of course, I took that job. I was just reached out to by Dennis Long of Tier 1 Wrestling to join their broadcast team. So all these broadcasting gigs are starting to open up on top of the fact that I put myself into the Franklin Board of Education. I got a really good friend, Howard Gaber, who works over at the Franklin High School. He has his own production company, HSG Productions, and he's been, you know, broadcasting all the high school football games for Franklin High School, and he asked me to fill in one day, and it turns out, you know, I told him how I was confident in my abilities, and now going forward, I'll be working with them. So it's kind of weird all this turned out, where I was Mr. All Pro Wrestling all the time to let's find another niche, you know? And it's funny because a guy named Pat, and it wasn't Buck, it was my friend Pat Kenny, otherwise known as Simon Diamond, he told me there's other ways to make it in professional wrestling. And I think that, you know, you have to realize that it's, you know, strike now while you're young and while you still have all your brain cells. So that's what I did. And I've been riding with it ever since. So if you see me at WrestlePro shows, say hello. I am the head commentator. I usually come out there first. I usually sit right in front of a group with a David Adams section sign, which is always nice. You know, no respect to me. It's all David Adams, which David Adams is a very talented ring announcer. Me and Shining Edward Jackson are now enjoying our commentary team. We've been killing it. We're really having a good time with it. And we make things fun, you know, very relaxed. It's not drill sergeant. We obviously pay attention to all direction, but it's one of those things where we're finally having a nice time and a really good time. And I'm trying, my goal is to put every single one of my friends over, you know, and make them feel like they're very important, whether it be their first match or their last match. You know, I do as much as I possibly can to get these guys to believe in their characters, to believe in themselves. So even when I can have a say, and I have had some say in some of the creative angles that have happened in the last couple months, and that's pretty awesome if you think about it. Like, you're involved, like, with WrestlePro, which is such a big company already in its first year, going into its second year, you know, and now you're kind of involved in a lot of stuff. And I think it's pretty cool because it's I'm taking the stuff that I've learned in the first 4.5 years of wrestling and I'm applying it right now. So it's very cool. It's very cool. With that being said, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, obviously I'll plug all the shows coming up, the NFL playoffs going forward, all that good stuff. I'll be back. Take a listen to a tune real quick while I take my little break.
Couldn't waste it. Opportunity knocks and you take it. Went to my place, gotta get a taste. Couple shots.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You
my broke back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or well, what portion?
Spinal.
You got a feel for one Mike Tyson. It's one of my favorite interviews, actually, ever. I broke my back. Just, I never understood what the hell he was talking about. Anyway, welcome back to the show, Destruction 101, Episode 1. I told everybody my backstory. Hopefully, y'all are familiarized with who I am and what I'm about. And what I really like to get out of this podcast is I would just really like to entertain everybody and try to give everybody my opinion, educate you guys on some of the things you might not know much about. Biased opinions. I'm not trying to say like my opinion is the only opinion you should listen to, even though it's probably the best idea for you, but you know, I won't do that. Anyway, coming up this Saturday night, you'll be hearing this on Wednesday. So this Saturday night in Union, New Jersey, WrestlePro makes their 2017 debut. The stars that are joining us, Swoggle's in the house, Matt Stryker, the debut of Leo Rush, along with all your favorite WrestlePro people, your Chris Paynes, your Heavenly Bodies, the entire EJ5, Mario Baccara, the reigning defending champion, Bobby Wayward, Matt McIntosh, Anthony Bowens makes his return since injury of NXT, which brings me to my point of this, you know, to put over the school a little bit. Just, you know, if you want to become a professional wrestler, we just had an open house about, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. Good turnout. Hopefully some of these guys stuck with it, you know. I remember the orientation and the open house that I went to. I was sold, man, and it was only because Buck was telling me of all the people that he knew, and I just didn't want to, whatchamacallit, believe it. But truth be told, you know, everything that he said, it came true. You know, I'm friends with this guy. No, he's not. Yes, he is. You know, and like I met a lot of people through the training school and between, you know, names on the rosters and now guys that are pretty much our, you know, bread and butter guys like Ryback, like the coolest dude I've ever met. You know, people make fun of me all the time for being a fucking mark, but, you know, everything he's done and said to me has been pretty laid back and chill. You know, it's not like I don't get starstruck anymore. I think I've gotten starstruck once ever in my 4.5 years. And I think it's when I met Jake Roberts, because of the story and just his road to recovery and all that good stuff that followed his character. And I was a massive Jake Roberts fan when I was growing up too. So anyway, the school, you know, guys like Anthony Bowens and Chris Payne recently, within the last like 2 months, 3 months, have had tryouts on NXT. These guys were like brand spanking new. I think Payne had a little training before WrestlePro, but like Bowens from, like, I watched him from match one, from literally the day he walked into the training center, I knew that he had it. He had what it took. He had the look. He had the moves. He had the endurance. He had the power. It was just one of those things where I was just like, this guy is going to make it. I don't know when. I don't know how long it's going to take, but he's going to make it. So that just, you know, try to put over the school a little bit that, like, you're getting trained by a lot of great people. You know, not just Pat, but, like, Mario Baccara and Kevin Matthews is there running class, and Dan Moff, I can't say enough about him. The Carinos are there, the, you know, otherwise known as the Heavenly Bodies. They're there all the time. So, like, the training never stops, and it was something I can definitely say thank you so much for making me who I am today, is that school. You know, it's opened a lot of doors, and that's where I'm sitting here talking to you now. So, yeah, anyway, not to get ahead of myself about the school, but listen, if you really do have the dream, I really do highly recommend the Creative Pro New Jersey School in Rahway. And if you're in New York, it's the Creative Pro New York Hicksville School in Hicksville, New York. It's pretty much, it's not a easy drive from my house, but if you're in New York, it's a lot easier to go up there. So WrestlePro, we're coming back this Saturday. I'm very excited about it. I'm also excited that we're in the same building as we just hosted the Wawa's, the We Are WrestlePro Awards. And it was a fun, fun night, man. Let me tell you, I haven't had that much fun with these guys, and I can't even tell you. Like, it was between the karaoke and the actual the award ceremony itself, it was just so much fun, so laid back, and like everybody was having a good time. Buck was drinking, and Kevin was being Kevin, and it was a lot. It was like not only was it an award show for us, but it was like a celebration of just a year's worth of hard work from everybody, you know, between the booking, between the talent itself, between the ring crews, between, you know, myself doing broadcasting, like every single aspect of this company, it came together and we made an impact. And we really did as best as we could to put together a cool show for the boys, for their families, and for some of our loyal fans. And it was kind of like crazy how Pat literally picked out the two tables of fans that were there and shouted them out by name, which goes to show you that we have a very loyal following that carried over from the first company to now this bigger company. And we can't say thank you enough. And for me personally, it's one of those things where these people didn't know who the hell I was, you know, a long time ago. And now I have fans. And I still find that very hard to believe. And it's one of those things where I'm just like, wow, okay, you know, you're in the big time. This is the big time. For me, it is. I never thought in a million years I would ever have somebody hold up a sign with my name on it. You know, it's just not one of those things you think about when you're a kid. You know, you think, you dream about it, but then you're like, that'll probably never happen. But it's happened. And then, you know, that's the tribute to the school, to the, you know, the progress of WrestlePro, to everything. It's been phenomenal. Yeah, so that's pretty much my shtick on WrestlePro and professional wrestling. And again, there's many shows coming up for WrestlePro. There's also shows coming up for Battle Club Pro at the end of January. They're hosting a show. There's also a show that a lot of my WrestlePro guys are on this Sunday with the BBWF. So as you can see, you know, Pat is as much as people tend to disbelieve, he encourages us to get work in other places. You know, and now myself included, like I will try to be a broadcaster everywhere I can be. My home is WrestlePro, and I know that there will never be another WrestlePro. There will never be another platform like WrestlePro to give me this kind of opportunity. Battle Club Pro is very close to that as far as a production value because it's the same production team. Carlos and his boys do a great job. Tier 1, I'm sure it's the same guys there too. So it's just good to see that there's good professional wrestling and good promoters left out there in the world as opposed to some of the people that just need to go away. I won't mention any names. I just think that in this day and age, with pro wrestling being on the rise in certain places, I just think that people, it's not even the certain promoter, it's just that there's leeches. There's just leeches in the industry where they're there all the time and there's no getting rid of them. And it's just they latch onto something and then they just suck the life out of it until they're asked to leave and basically pried away. And then they go latch onto something else. And I never understood that. And I just, you know, you're educated in, you know, when it's all over and you wonder like, oh, what happened here? And then you're educated and you're like, oh shit, I didn't really see that at all. And it stinks because one thing that professional wrestling as a company, and not as a company, as a business, produces is a lot of creeps, a lot of fucking creeps, man. I'm telling you right now, there's just a lot of people that just prey on all these people, and especially, you know, this is directed, I guess, towards the girl, female wrestlers. Like, I feel bad. I really do. Like, these girl wrestlers that, like, I mean, I understand there's a time and a place for girl professional wrestling, women's wrestling. I mean, me personally, I never got behind it. I mean, it's not like I wasn't against it. I never took an interest into it like I did the males. Will I take an interest into it in the future? Sure. Show me a good women's match and I'll watch it. We have a great woman, like she's 40. We have a great girl that's training at the Creative Pro New Jersey School, Rin, and she's awesome. You know, she's a hard worker. She's hard on herself, and she knows it. But that's exactly how you're supposed to start. You're supposed to start hard on yourself. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't, because you got one booking in front of 14, you know, drooling dudes, don't think your shit don't stink all of a sudden, because 9 times out of 10, you still stink, you know, and it's, Rin is one of those girls, and, you know, I'll put her over, she's one of those girls that will never, she won't take anything that she's not ready for, so clearly she's been busting her ass at WrestlePro. A lot of other girls have taken it upon themselves to get booked elsewhere when they really don't have the stamp of approval to go work anywhere else, you know, only because you're probably not ready. And if you're, you know, if you're there and you're doing your thing, then whatever, like, teach his own. I'm not a promoter. I'm not a trainer. I can't tell you when you're ready or not, but I think a girl like Rin, who's going to be debuting soon and has a great big match lined up on Saturday. It's one of those things where I think that, you know, she can make it. She can establish herself as the dominant woman of WrestlePro, and that can happen. I just wish there was just, the creeps would just go away and stop asking for fucking pictures and just fucking, I don't know. I mean, I'm cursing too much than I'd like to be right now, but that's just me and that's what I talk about. But anyway, making a quick transition. I don't know how long I've been going. It doesn't even say on this thing, which is kind of weird if you think about it. Usually it always says, like, the time. I don't know. But anyway, getting into just a little bit of the of what I wanted to talk about, and that's the NFL playoffs.
Playoffs?
And the NFL season as a whole. I'll pretty much wrap up with this. But the NFL this year has been completely giving to me. Only because last year, you know, me and my brother went out to Texas for game one, okay? And if you remember, if you're a Dallas Cowboys or a Giants fan, you remember this game because it's the game where, you know, Eli throws it on third down. They give Dallas one more drive to go down the field and try to score. And they did just that. And that place shook. I swear to God, it was one of those things where I'm like, wow, this place is literally shaking. It was the greatest game you'll ever see if you're a Cowboys fan. And me and my brother were there to see it live. You know, fast forward a week, just a week later, and the dirty, dirty, rotten Philadelphia Eagles, you know, and their defensive line break Tony Romo in half, basically. And the season is lost. Like, we couldn't find a backup. We didn't have a backup quarterback that we can build around. I mean, it was Matt Castle. It was freaking, what's his name, Brandon Whedon. Like, it was just bad. And then Kellen Moore at the end. It was just really bad football, and nobody can get behind it. And Dez Bryant was out too, and our defense was atrocious, and it was a long season. It was 4-12. 4-12. So fast forward to the draft, where I knew we needed defense. I mean, I was like, we need a defensive back in the worst way because we can't cover anybody. And we took Ezekiel Elliott. And I'll be the first to admit, when we took him, and the way he's dressed, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, another clown for Dallas, you know? Another person that somebody can make fun of with his crop top shirts and it's just his just demeanor about him coming out of Ohio State. And I was just like, I know he's a great runner. I've watched him in college and he looked phenomenal. And I'm like, yeah, maybe something. Maybe because we've taken the time to draft basically our entire offensive line in the previous 4 years that things would happen. And, you know, in the fourth round, they take Dak Prescott. And I'm like, okay, you know, and it's funny because I remember texting my buddy Dom, and I said, all right, what's the 411 on this Prescott kid? Because I have no idea who he is. He said, decent runner, decent arm, he's gotten into trouble, perfect for the Cowboys. Like, as a, you know, a pun of saying that all we have is a bunch of criminals. And I'm like, fuck, you know, what's the point of that, you know? And then it's funny, you know, fast forward to the preseason first game. And I'm in my living room with my wife, and I can't find the game. It's not on TV. And who else but me would want to watch the first preseason game of the Dallas Cowboys? You know, no starters barely. The starters barely play. If anything, they get like a series or two. So I finally find it on a stream online. So I can't get a picture. Like, I just hear audio. And the first thing I do when I click on play game is, this can't be happening, by the announcer. And I said, what did I just miss? And he said, and the next words were, he's not getting up, he's not moving. And I'm like, what's happening here? And it turned out my feed kicks in and I see Romo down and I'm like, this can't be happening. You know, like, this is, I looked at my wife, I'm like, this is not fair. Like, how is this fair to anybody to be a Cowboys fan and just to have 2 years in a row, you're not gonna have a quarterback? So then, as that happens, you know, right before that, we realized that Kellen Moore, our backup, broke his foot in training camp. So now, your third-string quarterback, who you weren't even going to use or talk about or anything, Dak Prescott, comes in on the Seattle first-team defense and throws a touchdown to Witten. And I'm like, oh, all right, well, that was nice, you know. All right, it's preseason. Second game against Miami. He lights it up. He shows he's got mobility. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, again, preseason, second, third team off, third team defenses. So I'm like, this can't be anything good. So finally, he builds some confidence. And Ezekiel Elliott's still kind of bouncing around. He's not even touching the ball in the preseason. So no, I have no idea what to expect. So in come game one with the Giants, and, you know, they played okay. Zeke was very impatient. He wasn't waiting for his blockers to make some holes. But then all of a sudden, Dak's throwing some balls, and I'm like, oh, all right, he's got some zip on it. Like, he's not as bad as some have said about his arm strength. And I'm watching this kid, and I'm like, all right, he's not bad. And then if it's not for Terrence Williams, who decided let's be a playmaker and try to get inbounds with no timeouts, because, you know, that's smart, we might have had a shot to tie that game with a field goal. So in my head, I'm like, all right, we're 0-1. It's going to be a learning curve where that's all that's going to happen. And we're going to have to, we're going to go like 6-10, 7-9 at the most. And, you know, we'll have a learning curve with Romo being out a month or two. And we'll see if he ever comes back. Right away, I just like, he's not coming back. Only because the injuries upon injuries upon injuries, it's just been too much. So fast forward 11 straight wins. Are you kidding? Like, And I swear to God, every single win, I wasn't behind it. You know, I wasn't ready to buy in yet. Every week I was like, all right, well, maybe if they do this. Well, what if they go into Green Bay and win? Boom, they did that. Well, what if they go into Pittsburgh and win? Boom, they do that. And I'm just like, what am I watching here? You know, like, it didn't make any sense to me. And I'm obviously excited. But lo and behold, as the playoffs come near, all the teams that are supposed to get hot. And here we are in the first week. The wild card round of the playoffs is coming up this week. And who else but the New York Giants are in the playoffs again. Now, does this piss me off? Of course it does. Why does it piss you off? Well, here's the thing. They're going into Green Bay this week. And normally anybody would say, okay, it's Green Bay in Green Bay. No shot, right? Well, this is the friggin' Giants we're talking about, okay? I made it clear to a lot of my colleagues that if the Giants go into Green Bay and handle business, I don't see anybody beating them, including my Cowboys. We lost to them twice already. You know, I know they say it's hard to beat a team three times, but for whatever reason, the Giants have our number. Do I think it would be a better game in Dallas than it was in cold, you know, New York? Yeah, I do. Do I like our chances better in Dallas? Of course, because, you know, there's no weather elements. But it's just something about the Giants being around is just nerve-wracking to me. So I really need the Packers to handle business. And then I need the Lions, actually, on Saturday night to start it off with an upset of the year. I need the Lions to go into Seattle and win, because if that's the case, then we played Detroit round two. And we just handled Detroit. And that was with, you know, a lot of injuries and a lot of adjustments that we weren't ready for. So I like our odds against the Lions. But if the Packers win and Seattle wins, then Green Bay comes to Dallas. And what you're saying, oh, well, Dallas already beat Green Bay. Yeah, I know, but now Aaron Rodgers is playing like Aaron Rodgers. So on the AFC side, unfortunately, I can't ever see anybody touching Tom Brady, especially now with Derek Carr being out. It's unfortunate because I was really pulling for the Raiders this year because, you know, one of my best friends is a Raiders fan, and it was really bringing me joy to see him so joyful about the NFL season. The Patriots just, I don't know what it is about them, man. Maybe it's Belichick. Maybe it is. Maybe after all these years where everybody's just giving them so much shit, you know, maybe it's his thing that he could just take a player off the streets and just make them good. I mean, they're doing this with no Gronkowski. They're doing this with, you know, Edelman's great and Amendola is good, and now they pick up Michael Floyd, and it's like, do you have any, like, solid stud one like they did when they had Moss? No, they don't. They had Ocho Cinco at one point. You know what I mean? There's no stud, like, standout one, but they don't need it, which is the craziest part about all this. They don't need a one. It's insane. So the AFC, it has to go through New England. Kansas City makes it interesting because of their defense and their big playability now with Tyreek Hill. You know, it's one of those things, man. It's just, of course, any given Saturday or any given Sunday in the NFL playoffs, you never know. But to be honest with you, I don't see anybody. You know, Pittsburgh has always turned it up around this time of year, but I don't see that either. I don't see anybody touching New England. So New England might coast right into the Super Bowl, and hopefully against my Dallas Cowboys. But look, I'm waiting. I had this conversation with my wife the other day. I'm still waiting for this team to let me down and break my heart badly this year. Like last year wasn't a broken heart because after the big win in the week one and then Romo went down, I knew, okay, it's a lost season. You know, we just got to keep watching and just whatever. But it's all about Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, that offensive line, Dez Bryant, the defense, everybody playing together. It's been special so far. It really has been, and I'm waiting for it to end. I don't know when it's going to end. Hopefully it ends in Houston with me getting on the phone, ordering my Super Bowl t-shirt that night. But other than that, I really can't. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So that's crazy. That's pretty much it. I know that, you know, the intro shows are always difficult only because, you know, you try to get the intro in, you try to plug all the stuff you're working on and working with, and then, you know, you touch on a couple sports. But overall, I think, you know, going forward, it's going to be very, you know, it'll be wrestling related, heavy into the NFL as the playoffs, you know, keep going, and MLB, you know, pitchers and catchers in about a month and a half, which is fun. I'm a big Yankees fan. The Rangers are doing great in hockey. I know a lot of my listeners some of them are hockey fans and they're Devils fans and some Islander fans. And, you know, they're obviously spread out all over the place. But, I'll keep this as relevant as I possibly can. WrestlePro has a lot of big things coming up. I'm very excited about all of them. And, I guess that's it. So thank you for tuning in to the first episode. I know it wasn't as entertaining as I probably wanted it to be, but it will get better as it goes on, only because, you know, first episodes are always the hardest. And I hope you guys have a good rest of the week. Check out WrestlePro this week, Saturday night, in Union, New Jersey. Check out the flyer that I've posted probably a million times. And that's it. All right, so you guys take it easy, and I'll see you guys next week.
Wait a second. Andy Pettitte is a starting pitcher.